Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix for Wednesday, October 12th, 2016. Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up at the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals and an authorized Walt Disney World stroller vendor. Today on the podcast, it's a family affair. I've got all of the Matts just about talking with us about their early fall Orlando vacation. Welcome back to the show, David.
Hey there, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So why don't you go ahead and introduce us to the crew that you have there ready to help us out with this trip report.
Okay, Catherine, say hello.
Hi.
Christina.
Hey.
And Cecilia.
Hello.
All right, so we have the whole crowd. Glad to have everybody on board. Why don't you get us started here with kind of the background on this trip? I think the last time we talked, you had taken more of a local trip, kind of a road trip down to San Antonio for the SeaWorld park there. And this time you did include some Disney, but you know, Disney wasn't the main focus of this vacation either. So how did the idea for this particular trip come together?
Yeah, it was actually a very roundabout process. At the beginning of the year, my wife and I had been talking about doing Washington, D.C. in the middle of September. The girls have been homeschooled for this year, and that gave us a bit of flexibility about when we could travel. We were thinking of doing kind of an additional deal, but I don't know, about mid-May or so, when I was starting to plan out the trip to Washington, D.C., I decided I really didn't want to do that. And we'd found in our trips with our annual pass to SeaWorld that all the girls were now over 54 inches tall, and they loved roller coasters. And
nice.
Then,
well, we're ready for some new thrill ride experiences, I guess, is what was driving you maybe to try something a little different.
Yep.
Yeah, so everybody was pretty much loving on the roller coasters, and we had been to Universal Studios about 5 years back. In fact, it was actually exactly 5 years from our date of the trip.
Oh, wow.
And I decided, hey, let's go back. They've got the new Gringotts Alley in Universal Studios.
Diagon Alley.
Yeah. Yes. Everybody's a Harry Potter fan.
Woohoo!
I've read more of the books than all you guys, because I've read all of the books. Have you, huh?
And they have the new Escape from Gringotts ride, Dragon's Challenge,
that we can actually ride on now. Yay!
All right, so lots of new thrill experiences waiting for you at Universal. So that was kind of the first piece of the trip. Now, what led you to say we want to do, you know, something else too, not just all these new Universal things?
Well, when I told my wife that, hey, we're not doing Washington, D.C., we're doing Orlando, her comment was, well, let's hit Food and Wine at Epcot. And I was more than happy to pencil that in for a day.
Me too.
And also, I thought it'd be a really fun time to hit the Halloween party because, again, we had done that way back when the kids were, you know, six or seven, but we hadn't done it in the past 5 or 6 years. So that sounded like a good idea. And I found out after I planned everything that everybody had assumed that we were going to hit a Disney water park for a day.
Surprise, Dad.
Yeah. So I was like, well, if we stay really late on Saturday, we can do that.
Mom said we were going to a water park. So we said, okay, Dad, what water park are we going to?
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know where she got the water park thing, but we can run with it. So we did.
So we went to Blizzard.
Okay, so you chose Blizzard Beach as your water park destination?
Yes.
Yeah, that was actually picked by the kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it had a little kids play area.
Oh, right. Yeah, so that you liked the particular smaller area that they got there at Blizzard Beach. So if I remember correctly, the way this trip laid out was that you started with the Universal part of the trip, and then at the end of the trip, you bounced over to Walt Disney World, and you did your, you know, food and wine and the party and the water park. Did I get that in order correctly?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and start digging into your experience at Universal. Which of the Universal resort hotels did you choose to stay at, and why did you choose to go that direction?
We picked the newest one, the Sapphire Falls. I'd seen some artwork for it online. Actually, when we booked the trip, it hadn't opened yet. But the artwork looked like they would have a really good pool. And we figured we'd spend Sunday, our first day there, as kind of a cool day. And, you know, it looked beautiful pool area, and it did.
Okay. So you were really, you know, you're our vanguard. I don't think we've had anybody else on the show yet who's even seen Sapphire Falls, let alone stayed there. So talk to us a little bit about the resort itself. Obviously, you're correct. It's the newest of the Universal resorts. It's designed to be sort of somewhere in between the Cabana Bay Beach Resort, their, you know, value and family suite resort, and the you know, Royal Pacific Resort, which is sort of the I don't know, they tend to, in their advertising at least, group Royal Pacific and Sapphire together these days. But there are still some distinctions between the two. And I think, I know that when we were first talking about it, when you were looking at booking it, there was a little bit of confusion still there. But to clarify for people who are listening, they still only provide the Express Pass included in your, you know, for free, basically, if you stay at one of those three original sort of Lowe's Universal hotels. So Royal Pacific, Hard Rock, and Portofino Bay. But the Sapphire Falls, they sort of categorize with Royal Pacific, I believe, because their assessment is that the amenities at Sapphire Falls are of the same level as the amenities at Royal Pacific. I'm pretty sure you've stayed at Royal Pacific before, David. So would you agree that their amenities are about equal?
Well, I think Royal Pacific might be a tinge nicer in terms of the amenities. But really, I think, yeah, they're probably about roughly equal. I would compare them to maybe a little bit of a step below some of the Disney moderates I've stayed at, like Riverside or Port Orleans, French Quarter. It's maybe not quite as luxurious as a Disney moderate, but it's definitely a step above, say, Disney value. Okay. They did a very nice job with the theming. I think with regards to sort of the bathroom products they supplied, they're probably more at the level of a moderate. But you do wind up losing the Express Pass. Now, given that we were going in kind of very off-season, middle of September with school in session, that for us wasn't going to be a big problem.
Sure. And talking a little bit more about the resort itself, you know, it does have the advantage of interior hallways, which none of the Disney, none of the Disney moderate resorts have completely, you know, interior hallways the same way that Sapphire Falls does. It's more of a tower hotel. So you do get that advantage. Some people feel like it's a little quieter that way and a little more convenient. But other than that, you know, it's helpful to kind of have a good sense of the amenities. You also had talked about choosing Sapphire Falls, at least in part, because of the artwork that showed off the pool area. So I'd love to hear, you know, both what you think and what the girls think about, you know, the pool area there at Sapphire Falls.
It was awesome.
Yeah, girls chime in on the pool area.
It was awesome.
So what What things in particular did you like about that pool area?
Well, here's the thing. In the pool, they even had, like, beach balls.
Free beach balls.
Free beach balls.
You couldn't take them home, but you could play with them.
You couldn't take them. Yeah, you couldn't take them home, but you could play with them.
Okay.
They also had Connect Four games.
Yeah, they had a little game area off to the side that we spent some time at. It had pool, ping pong, Connect Four, hula hoops, and beanbag.
And beanbag toss.
Yeah, kind of a beanbag toss into the holes of boards and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually learned a pretty cool hula hoop trick to do on one of those things.
Slide?
Oh, yeah, the water slide.
Slide? I prefer the water slide at Disney.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so, but for a hotel, you know, I mean, we're talking water slides at a hotel versus water slides at a water park. For a hotel, I get the impression that it was, you know, maybe a step above what you might expect at a moderate hotel for a you know, water slide and water activities.
Well, I'm not comparing it to water slides. I'm just saying the water slide there is, like, not as good as, like, some of the water slides at Disney Resorts.
Okay. So what was it that you didn't like as much?
Well, wasn't as exciting. It was mostly just like this, like, 20-second wide doing just like a bunch of cars.
Yeah, what wasn't as long as, say, some of the deluxe Disney slides.
Yeah.
So it was kind of short and quick.
It wasn't as interesting. Yeah. It was quick and not that interesting.
But you did get a good view of the waterfall.
Usually the lines were a little long. But you got a good view from where you would wait.
Okay, so going up high was kind of cool because you could see all around, and it's a pretty extensive complex.
Yeah, it's I would say, you know, decor-wise,
great.
I mean, it's got a very Caribbean island theme, lots of bright colors and very kind of stark white. There's a lot of stone and woodwork to sort of make it look like, say, a fort that you might find on one of the islands, you know, on a Caribbean cruise or such.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give them a lot of kudos for that. And it was also, I'd say, very practical from the standpoint that they had a good, I'll call it a Starbucks equivalent, where you could go and grab coffee and cereal and pastries in the morning. And they actually had a dinner there, too, with plantain chips and, say, pulled pork and rice and beans and stuff.
Very nice.
And that wound up coming in handy because we did have at least 2 days where we wound up eating in the resort area. One we had kind of planned for. The other just turned out that way due to kind of a torrential downpour where, you know, we basically weren't going to wind up leaving the building.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting challenge at Universal, especially when you're at, well, really any of their resorts, just because most of the transportation is designed for either walkability or boats. And when it's pouring rain, you know, those are not the best options. The boats tend not to run because there's, you know, if there's lightning anywhere in the area, and obviously, you know, walking in the pouring rain is a challenge. They do have some bus service, but my experience with it, at least, and maybe it was yours as well, is that when it does rain really hard like that, you know, the bus service just gets overwhelmed because it's not used to providing service to the three, you know, sort of original hotels there. They're primarily served by the water taxis. And so when they have to divert buses to serve those hotels as well, it just seems to be more than the system can handle.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely with the torrential rain that hit us, it was one where everyone was just like, boy, I'm not going out there.
And the worst part is we were planning to roast marshmallows at their fire pit.
Hard to roast marshmallows in the pouring rain.
Yes,
very hard. Unless you have an indoor fireplace.
Now, I'm curious, one last thing before we get away from the hotel. I'd love to get your impression of, you know, the room itself in terms of the functional space of the room and the comfort.
Let's see. Size-wise, it was, I'll call it comparable to the Disney Value Resorts. It was pretty crowded. We had a spare bed so that we could sleep all five of us in the room. The queen-size beds were, I'd say, pretty luxurious.
Yeah.
You know, very soft and comfortable to sleep on. For those of you that slept on the bunk bed or sort of rollaway bed, how was that?
It was pretty good.
It was not that comfortable.
You didn't even sleep on it.
You have to. You made me.
Well, I slept on there two nights because I like the personal space.
Ah, okay. Well, you know, that is, it's kind of a blessing and curse situation because on the one hand, you know, it's pretty tight there with the rollaway added, but the flip side is that they actually do let you book that room, you know, for five people, which isn't even an option at a Disney Value Resort.
Yeah. And that worked out rather well for us because, you know, one of the issues we do have being a family of five is just you're kind of limited in the number of hotels you can stay at. So I was really happy that they did offer it as an option.
All right, great. So we talked quite a bit about the resort so far. Let's move on and talk a bit about the parks. Did you have a specific plan for attacking the parks there at Universal, or was it more of a, you know, we're just going to kind of go where the park takes us?
No, actually, I had kind of a hardcore plan, and I was a bit of a dictator with the notion that, look, we're getting there at Rope Drop, guys. We're hitting these particular rides in this order, and we're not going to stop at any souvenir stands or gift shops or anything until 11:30. Once 11:30 occurs, then we can kind of mosey on. But basically, I wanted to hit all of our headliners as quickly as we could just to avoid all the crowds.
Right. And that's a pretty interesting. I mean, I like that strategy a lot. I think it's something that you can use in a lot of contexts. Universal, I think it works particularly well in, but, you know, at Walt Disney World, it could be useful as well. And that is to say, you know, let's plan tightly for the morning and really leverage, you know, that early admission and the time that we can, you know, avoid lines first thing in the morning. And that way in the afternoon, when the crowd starts to catch up with us, that's when we can maybe slow down a little bit, draw back a little bit, and take in the gift shops and the other things that are not so much, you know, kind of limited by the other folks in the park.
Yeah, and I got to say, it worked out really well every day except for Wednesday. That was the day where basically we kept going on rides and they'd break down.
Oops.
So that is a downside to the plan is that, you know, it does depend very heavily on ride availability.
Yeah, well, and that's going to be true of any plan, right? I mean, if the rides aren't running, then the plan is going to get sidetracked a bit here and there, regardless of you know, where it is or when you're planning for it. Well, so which park was first up in your plan?
It was on Monday. We did Universal Studios, and basically we tackled the Minions ride. I thought was really excellent.
It was good. And it was cute.
And then Transformers and Mummy and a few others. And we gradually made our way to Harry, the new Diagon Alley area.
All right. So you kind of worked yourself through the park. You know, you didn't dash straight to the back of the park, but you kind of worked your way through from the front. Now, that's kind of interesting to me because did you have were you there for early admission that morning?
No, we didn't.
Exactly at the Minions ride, because that was super crowded when we got back.
Well, yeah, the deal was the park opened for everybody at 9 a.m., and we were basically there, you know, right at that time, and we just kind of went through everything in order. I had made use of the touring plans to sort of, you know, plan out what it thought would be a good strategy to sort of do only a little bit of walking, but minimize wait time.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the key, right? Is you're trying to balance, you know, it's not necessarily that helpful to have, you know, no wait times if you also have, you know, a lot of wasted time with walking from attraction to attraction, and you're wearing yourselves out. So good idea to balance that, and you just kind of worked your way through the park. It sounds like you kind of headed to your left and worked yourself around clockwise. So before you got to the back of the park, let's focus on that chunk of your day first and you know, ask you and the girls as well, what were things that stand out about that first part of the day that, you know, before lunch, before you got back to Diagon Alley, part of your day? What things really stand out, either as favorites or things that you would say, ugh, I'm never doing that again?
Well, one surprise I had is that my wife really liked the Transformers ride.
I liked it when there was no one there, because if there's no one there, it would not be rude to point at everything and say that's bad, because seriously, I wanted to do that, and you did. I'm serious. You could do it when no one was there.
Yeah, but that ride was pretty awesome. It was pretty nice.
It was nice. Very nice.
All right, yeah, so what things did you like in particular about Transformers?
Well, I liked the fact that the special effects looked so were like so realistic. Like one time a bad guy was like putting like I don't know what it was. Like what was it?
Yeah, my comment on the whole Transformers thing is because I don't know the lore, I couldn't tell when we were either being rescued or kidnapped.
Me, yeah.
All I know
is the problem with that attraction.
Yeah. All I know is that Optimus Prime and Bumblebee are good guys.
Yes, if you're brightly colored, you're a good guy. I learned that.
Okay, right. There you go. There's your hint.
I mean, for a ride where it's maybe confusing for folks not really familiar with the IP, it's a good ride. I mean, there's a lot of excitement and a lot of action.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the first piece. You really enjoyed Transformers a lot. Any thoughts on, you know, any of the other sort of major attractions around that way? I mean, it seems to me that you would have hit the Minions attraction and Mummy that you mentioned along the way as well. Anything in particular strike you about either of those?
I didn't really like the Mummy ride.
I liked it.
I hated it when my eyes were open. Was like, okay, I can deal with everything else, but just please no mummies.
Yeah, the mummy ride is genuinely creepy, I would say. It did a pretty good job scaring you.
Yeah, it does. It's got some good effects. And they do a nice job, I think, on Mummy of mixing the sort of real effects, you know, stage effects and video effects.
You mean
Universal is the thing that tends to me to think about, or that I tend to see as sort of the weaknesses of Universal sometimes, is that they sometimes maybe over-rely on video projection. And I really feel like on Mummy, you know, they get a nice blend.
Yeah, the girls were a bit, I call it, stunned a bit by how real some of the stuff, like the fire was.
Was real!
Yes. Yeah. We know the fire was... Yes, but they have safety margins where they make sure that the guests don't die before they get through the gift shop.
Yeah.
So.
Right. All right.
And they also made the God of Death cute. Yes, it was
a God of Death plushie.
It was based in an Anubis plush. It was a jackal plush. Yeah. And there was cat plush. They were cute, I have to say. They made the God of Death cute.
Okay.
And the goddess of war. They made the god of death and the goddess of war cute. I don't get how they did that. Well, maybe through cute plushies, but hey.
Anyway, so yeah, everybody was, you know, intimidated perhaps by the mummy ride, but enjoyed it.
All right.
I enjoyed it with my eyes closed. I enjoyed it when my eyes were open.
So anything else before you got to Diagon Alley that stands out in your mind?
No.
Okay. So let's hear about some...
Okay.
Other than the fact I found out I sucked at the Men in Black alien attack thing,
I was...
Okay, the first time I did, I literally ruled.
I sucked. I
ruled.
Sucked.
I got 125,000.
I only got
And my... here's the trick.
Okay, I blame Milo scores on a broken gun, so, you know, you can always do that.
Me too.
Mine was like 400 and
Yeah, you know, at least
okay,
you guys got to ride. That's all I have to say, because this past summer, back in May, you know, Terry Hawkins and I think we tried for 2 days to ride Men in Black, and every time we went to go try and ride it, it was down. So I'm impressed that you guys got to actually ride it.
Yeah, and it's a good ride.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe, it doesn't have enough parts in it where you can actually shoot stuff to really increase your score.
You can shoot stuff.
Well,
okay, here's the hint for it. Shoot like a psychopath with unlimited ammo. Okay, that does not work for the Buzz Lightyear thing.
But it does seem to work better for Men in Black.
Men in Black Alien Attack. And, okay, if you want to get the 100,000 bonus, spam that red button. When they say hit the red button, spam it. Literally, I literally pushed the thing 10,000 times.
I pushed it like 10,000.
I won.
3 to 5 times, and I only got like 400 and something points.
Yeah, you did a great job, Catherine.
I got 125,000.
I got like 600 points, even though my thing was broken.
I suck.
Okay, so.
Talk to me a little bit about first impressions as you approached Diagon Alley.
It was amazing. There was even a dragon on the green. There was
a dragon on top of the green.
That
breathed real fire every 10 minutes.
Just as we were approaching it, I didn't even know it was there till Mom pointed out the King Cross Station. Then she said it must be close, and she saw people walking around this brick wall, and they're like, oh, let's go check out what's behind there. It's Diagon Alley
with a dragon breathing fire
on top of green dots.
And I'm like, I need to take a selfie now.
Yeah, apparently everybody in Orlando felt the need to line up for selfies. Because there were a lot of people there.
Selfies with selfies.
Right. And it's challenging because the dragon breathes fire, but he doesn't necessarily do it in a very, you know, readily predictable pattern.
Every 10 minutes he breathes fire.
Well, he definitely had the people lining up to sort of be able to time their selfie just right.
Yeah.
And it's my one complaint about that area, which is beautifully themed, is just you wind up with so many people just kind of blocking your way as they're trying to line up for that perfect selfie that they're going
to
have to wait 10 minutes
for. I mean, we couldn't even get to the Gringotts ride like running into 20 people trying to take selfies.
Yeah, it does make it awfully crowded. So talk then about the things that you did while you were there in Diagon Alley. Obviously the plan was to, do the rides early on before the crowds got too large. So I'm going to assume that you rode the Gringotts coaster pretty much right away. So what did you think of Gringotts?
Awesome.
It was so cool.
Yep, it was awesome.
It was pretty good.
It was very well balanced.
Mm-hmm. My mom thought it was the best. My mom thought it was the best ride in Universal.
It's hard to knock the job they did, because while they make a lot of use of screens, it's really nicely done.
Oh, and I found out all the timings for the areas.
Okay.
Diagon Alley is the 8th book. The train, the Hogwarts train, is the 6th book.
Which is very realistic.
Yes. And the Hogsmeade is 4th book.
Okay. That makes sense. So they have kind of spaced out where they're drawing the characters and storylines from, throughout the Wizarding World areas. So Gringotts, you enjoyed that a lot. You thought it was a highlight. David, what are the things about Gringotts that you think they really got right?
I think it did a nice job of making a ride that you could get a wide variety of ages on, because it wasn't, say, as super intense as, say, the Mummy, but because you had some pretty strong motion to the car to it, you know, you really did feel a sense of danger and suspense as you're kind of being jolted around from area to area. And I think it adds a lot to more of the visual effects that they're showing you. Because I think one of the things is that if you don't have kind of that combination of motion plus the visual effects, it feels a bit too static. Whereas with this ride, it really felt dynamic in that you were constantly moving from area to area. I think they also made a really good choice in having, what was the name of the Weasley brother who narrated it?
Charlie, I think.
I think that was an excellent use of characters from the book.
Yeah, I agree. I like that, you know, it's a bit of a, you know, a call out, a little bit more of a reach. You didn't have one of the sort of, you know, primary four characters who were there narrating, and it brought in, you know, a character who's an important character, but doesn't get as much attention. And I think that was I would agree that that's a nice inclusion. All right. So by this time, we're getting around lunchtime-ish, somewhere around there, I suspect. Did you find someplace to eat there in the park, or did you head back?
No, actually, we ate at
Leaky Cauldron.
Yeah, Leaky Cauldron, which was really good. I mean, I had Toad in the Hole, which I do travel to the UK every now and then, and it did seem like, you know, for a theme park version of authentic UK food, it was good.
I had one of their mini meat pies. It was delicious.
Okay.
And I had butterbeer.
I had fish and chips.
Fish and chips. What about you, Catherine? Do you remember?
I think I had the mac and cheese.
Okay.
All right. So, and everybody was pretty happy with their lunches, huh?
Yeah. Butterbeer. The butterbeer was great.
Yeah, we did the frozen butterbeer.
I also found out.
That was really good.
I found out I like
frozen butterbeer.
The frozen butterbeer is good for summer.
I agree. I agree. Now, how many different versions of butterbeer did you try while you were there? I mean, you did the frozen. Did you try any of the other butterbeer versions?
Yes.
Yeah, we did do the soft serve for lunch on one of the other days, and that was really good.
And that's available at the ice cream shop that's there in Diagon Alley.
Yep. Yeah, we on the one of the follow-on days, we went back to Diagon Alley for lunch and did the ice cream shop as a somewhat non-nutritious lunch, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. Anything else? That's an interesting ice cream shop. Did everybody get the butterbeer ice cream, or did anybody else kind of decide to try one of the more adventurous flavors on the menu there?
You know, I think we had one or two folks trying something else, but I don't think it was necessarily one of the more adventurous flavors.
I had chocolate.
Chocolate.
The toffee.
Oh, Mama the toffee?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so chocolate, toffee, but nobody went for the Earl Grey?
No.
Nope.
I was curious, hear what people thought of that one, because I didn't have I wasn't willing to try that one either. You know, I had
Yeah, it's one of those where it's sort of like you only have so many calories / meals to use up.
Right, hard to convince yourself to burn those on a novelty.
Yeah, one of the other things we did on the first day, lunchtime, was we went to Ollivander's and we got the interactive wands.
Okay.
They were awesome.
So the girls, you know, did pick up the Harry Potter wands that would trigger the various special effects throughout the village.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that now that we had sort of hit the headliners and, you know, we had time to kind of, you know, lounge around, they tried their hand at the various spells and such.
Yeah. I was kind of successful at getting the fountain to go. A person helped me. Okay. I used it as a water fountain. Catherine and Seth both thought I was gross. I did it twice. So, I mean, like, I'm thirsty, get a free drink.
Okay. So that's actually kind of where I was going to follow up with this because, you know, I've heard some different reports. What did you think of the gameplay itself of the, you know, using the wands to trigger the various spells and things around the
world? It was cool. It was very cool.
I think it was pretty awesome.
Yes, I think Cecilia did wind up with a broken wand.
No, she didn't. She was just having problems with it.
Well, in the end, I think we wound up getting it replaced by one of the cast members where they just tried their hand at it and decided, well, they'll swap it for another one, and that seemed to make things work better.
It wasn't broken. It had some dust on the lens.
Well, okay.
Go to Nocturne Alley!
Yes. Oh, and that was one of the things we did later on, is we made back the on our last day at Universal, we
Nocturne
spent
Alley.
A fair amount of time in Nocturne Alley.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about the things you found in Nocturne Alley and what you liked about them.
Great.
Yeah, it's definitely a spookier, more Death Eater-ish part.
That's what I was about to
That's because it is a spooky Death Eater part of Harry Potter.
Yes, and they themed it well. They do have a gift shop tucked back there that has, I'll call it a little bit more of, you know, slightly more adult, I'll call it, you know, T-shirts and Harry Potter wear and stuff. It's I would say just in general for the Harry Potter area, the new Gringotts area in particular, they've done a great job of making it a Harry Potter fan shopping paradise.
Yeah. On every Harry Potter ride, they have to dump you into a gift shop.
I got a crochet stuff in my lad's pet shop.
Yes, we did have the wands and the Crookshanks and a fair amount of merchandise purchased.
Just the Crookshanks and a wand.
And the chocolate frogs and
Yes. So well, this is exactly why Universal has built the Wizarding World the way they have.
But I did not get a wow yacht.
Yes, and actually, Mom wound up picking up quills and parchment paper and such for you guys to practice your cursive on.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's educational, kind of.
Yeah, sure. Now, you were in the Diagon Alley area, and we had a little bit of a reference there to the Hogwarts Express train that goes back and forth between the two parks. So I'm assuming you rode it each direction.
Talk to
me a little bit about the Hogwarts Express and, you know, what you thought of the experience.
It was awesome.
It was so realistic.
Okay, but
there's it was
one major fault.
Okay.
There was no trolley.
Nobody coming around selling you treats.
That's the only major thing.
That's the only major thing.
Yeah, actually, they are missing out on a merchandise opportunity where they could have the trolley come by and try to sell you stuff as you're waiting. But, yeah, it was I was really impressed with how authentic of a English train it felt like. We rode it multiple times in each direction. One thing is that as we were, you know, kind of traveling from park to park later on, it was just a very convenient way to change parks. And, you know, really, you've got to see kind of the experience on the train ride, I'd say two or three times before you really catch all of the details they do and what you see in the windows as you're kind of going from London to Hogsmeade and back again.
All right. Yeah, I agree. Now, I will say you're right on with the trolleys. I would agree. Although, it is one of the few attractions that seem to me to have not just a like little snack counter in the extended queue leading into the attraction, but as I recall, the especially in the London train station, there's a bar along the way.
There is?
I must have missed that, which is, disappointing.
There's not a bar, and there's a little snack stand.
Okay.
Right. It's set up to be like the newsstand in the train station. But if you go and look carefully, they've got like three different kinds of British beer.
Oh, that would have been handy.
Yeah, that you can take with you onto the train.
Yeah, because I did stop at the sort of Hogshead Tavern because I'd heard from folks that was often a faster way to get a butter beer.
Yes.
I was actually there for a real beer, and it was actually a bit crowded. There were probably a good dozen people in line ahead of me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I suspecting that folks outside probably got their butter beer faster. But,
interesting. Yeah, it depends, really, because sometimes even though you've got more people in front of you, the thing that people don't realize is, and it just depends on staffing, but the Hogshead Tavern has two taps.
Yeah.
Whereas the cart only has one. So even if there were more people waiting, they can actually fill twice as many at a time.
Yeah, that was because they did have two folks behind the bar, but only one of them was pouring, and I think the other person might have been more of either training or supervising.
Right, right. Well, so that's taken us over to Hogsmeade. Let's talk a little bit about Hogsmeade. This is the older part of the Wizarding World, and had you ever been to the Wizarding World before? Had you been there, you know, since this had opened, but before Diagon Alley?
Yes.
Yeah, the girls were about 5 years old.
Okay. So, you know, obviously it's a different experience when you come back, you know, older and tall enough to ride everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, talk a little bit about what things this time around were the things that stood out to you and the things that were your favorites.
Well, they certainly got a lot of use out of the Dragon's Challenge.
Oh, yes. That was so much fun. Then you can even pick which dragon you ride on. Shiny Spider-Bot or Hungarian Horntail.
Okay, just a note for everyone watching this. Okay, the difference between the two is the Hungarian Horntail is more intense, but the Chinese Fireball goes faster.
Okay.
And
okay.
It's much more smoother.
Yeah, so we rode each one multiple times.
Yes.
Yeah. We decided we liked the
Hungarian Horntail the best. But if you're not into, like, those sharp turn roller coasters, then definitely go on the Chinese Fireball.
All right, so it's a little smoother.
Yeah.
And faster.
Yes.
All right. And... You know, obviously this time you were all tall enough to ride the signature attraction of Hogsmeade, which is the Forbidden Journey ride. So what was your impressions of Forbidden Journey?
Awesome. Just keep your eyes closed for the spiders.
But that's when they take the picture on.
They take the picture during the spider, which is bad for many people.
Yeah.
Who have arachnophobia.
Yeah. If you don't like spiders, it may not be the best of rides, but I think it does a nice job. It's maybe not quite as...
And there's one room for improvement
up to date as Gringotts, but I thought it was definitely a good ride.
And there's one note for improvement.
What?
There are Dementors, and they put in way too many Dementors at my face, breaking my space. Dementors swinging at you left and right, and front and center.
I just have one question about that one. Why so many spiders? Why so many Dementors?
And why
so close together?
I was going to say, and why so less dragons?
Well, pick a Patronus charm that eats spiders.
Okay, I will go... Pick you, Dragonfly.
All right, so...
I don't know.
I think that, you know, we'd all agree that it's a pretty reasonable assessment there of the attraction itself. Any thoughts, you know, things you caught this time that maybe you missed last time or things that jumped out at you differently about the queue? Because, you know, that's sort of one of the highlights to me of the Forbidden Journey attraction is just the queue to get there.
There's one thing. It broke down while we were waiting, only for about 10 minutes, and I could imagine all the lucky people getting to see the special effects and just snapping pictures for Instagram.
Yeah, we
always bring your phone with you on that ride.
Yeah,
have it in your pocket.
Say most of the queues at Universal, they've been doing a really nice job kind of theming them and getting you some interesting stuff to look at.
I have one complaint for the Skull Island Rhinocon.
Oh,
why so scary?
I wanted to get to Skull Island.
All right, so let's talk Skull Island.
Okay, yeah, Skull Island queue is terrifying.
I heard when the lines are longer, they'll have people hide in these corners and stuff clothing. They'll super scary costumes, and then they'll jump out at you. I didn't get a picture of any of that stuff, but I just heard of it.
Yeah, they did a masterful job at keeping that queue very intense, where the music that they play, just the fact that it's very dark, very creepy, a lot of kind of sudden jerky stuff, and they've got kind of an animatronic of this woman, witch person, saying that you're all going to die, and just...
Well, I don't know what language she was speaking, but she was certainly...
Terrifying.
Terrifying. I could probably translate the language she was speaking, but I don't want to. Yeah.
She wasn't telling good news.
It was a pretty scary, you know, introduction to the attraction. This is a brand new attraction. It's only been open a few months. So what did you think once you actually got to the attraction itself, you know, through all this buildup in the queue?
Worth the wait.
Yeah, for me, it was my favorite ride, even better than Gringotts. Partly, I think, because, I can still know a bit of the King Kong story and stuff like that. So
you know Harry Potter, though.
Well, yes, but
My dad's been in the line.
What did I say?
It was a giant king that tried to give hugs to everyone and save people, and it just stopped as a giant who... Gorilla Halloween and doesn't know why everyone's so terrified of it.
Yeah, I was like, Dad, no.
Yeah, I think the ride itself does a very nice job with King Kong as more the sympathetic yet terrifying monster.
Yeah.
The ride itself.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely one that you could go on multiple times to really, you know, catch the full feel.
Yeah.
Because as you're sort of going on this tram, and it reminds me a bit of, say, you know, Animal Kingdom's safari truck, only it holds about 80 people.
And is way more street.
And the difference, though, being that rather than the live action, you essentially have screens on both sides of you as this battle is playing out between King Kong and the dinosaurs.
T-Rex.
And it's an awesome just sequence they have of the tram going through the jungle as you're getting battled about in the middle of this intense, you know, fight between King Kong and
dinosaurs,
of course,
and giant bats, and of course there are giant mosquitoes. Why?
And it looks like your tram is about to fall off the bridge into the bottomless ravine, but you live.
Yeah, guys.
Right. And so where would you put it sort of in the spectrum here of, it seems like it's another of a somewhat similar sort of style of attraction from Universal. Where would you put it sort of in the spectrum between, say, the most basic of the you know, simulator type attractions, maybe like Simpsons or Spider-Man on one side, or on the other side something like Gringotts or Forbidden Journey that's more a combination of simulation and 3D effects.
It's mostly simulation, but I'd say they do a very solid job of integrating that with kind of the movement of the vehicle, so that at least to me, it seemed more realistic than a lot of the older simulator rides. And I think one of the things that does sort of help that is just the fact that you've got so much happening on both, I'll call it the left and right side of you, that because you're having to constantly sort of move your field of vision back and forth, and there's interesting stuff happening on both sides, that as a sort of participant in it, you feel a lot more engaged than most simulators where you're just, say, staring straight ahead.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, so that's Skull Island. That's a new attraction. It's good to get some feedback about that one, because I think, you know, not many have had an opportunity to experience it. Let's talk now about the rest of Islands of Adventure, which we haven't really talked about at all. What things about Islands of Adventure really stood out? I mean, we don't need to go step by step, but, you know, what are the things that are particularly memorable or really, when you think about that part of the trip, you know, the things that you immediately think about.
Me and Catherine have taken the Rite of Passage to be the most extreme roller coasters.
Yes, Hulk was a very popular coaster.
We went on the back, the exact back row of Hulk, of the Incredible Hulk.
And let me just tell you, it's way more intense there than the front row.
Yes. We went on the back, all the way back row of the Hulk.
Now, yep. Here's
okay,
the thing.
There's the bad thing. If you get headaches a lot, don't do that, because it gives you a headache for like an hour.
No, 5 minutes.
But anyways, Hulk was awesome. Now. One of the other things we really enjoyed was the Velociraptor encounter. The folks, the folks we had that were, I guess I'll call it the Velociraptor trainer, as well as the Velociraptor, they did a great job working together as a team. There was a lot of humor with the trainer where he would, you know, basically try to lull people into a sense of security while also sort of making it somewhat apparent that, yeah, he was setting it up so the Velociraptor was going to eat you.
He tried to eat my face off!
When he said zero accidents, he meant two.
Yeah, there was a lot of very sly humor, and I thought that was one of those where it's going to be a bit of a wait. Luckily, because we hit it kind of early on, it was only about 20 minutes, but I would say that was definitely worth it.
I know.
Okay.
The things that also stood out was Whipsaw Falls. My mom packed ponchos the day we did the water slides.
Cheater!
Cheater!
I got soaked, and she was wearing a poncho.
Cheeto, cheeto, whip saw eel.
I don't think it would be very nice to eat a saw.
Yeah. Actually, ironically, probably one of the longest lines we had was for Ripshaw Falls.
Saw, not Ripshaw.
Interesting. Now, I've said before that I've taken showers and not gotten as wet as I got on Ripshaw Falls. Was that your experience as well?
Yes.
Yes.
Not mine.
Yes. The girl Dad. Who wore the poncho, and one thing
cheater.
Is, we wound up being separated into two separate groups where Catherine, who had stayed behind with Mom, did get enhanced with the poncho, whereas the other two who foolishly followed Dad first onto the ride, had forgotten about the poncho availability, and ponchos are for wimps.
You mean you forgot to talk? You mean you forgot me? Well, you knew I wanted to ride that ride, but you didn't get me.
There was miscommunication between Mom and Dad, and actually, I honestly believe that you did not want to go on the fall.
I was one of the wimps ones. Okay. I did it all by myself, I got the least wet.
Yes.
Because she had a poncho and she's a cheater and ponchos are for wimps. I'll take that.
Only the bottom of my.
So, did you guys try any of the other water attractions? They're all kind of, you know, grouped together in that area. So, what did you think of the other water attractions? Was Ripshaw Falls clearly, you know,
the
well
wettest.
Above the best compared to the others, or were there others that you liked as well?
The Popeye one?
Yeah.
What was it called?
The Bilge, Popeye's Bilge Rats or such?
I don't know.
I liked it. Just because I thought a lot of the sort of Popeye theming that they did in there was good. It was, I'll call it a somewhat standard water raft ride. And yeah, you do get plenty wet on it, but it's not as quite the same level of uniqueness that the Ripshaw Falls drop gives you.
Ripshaw Falls.
Yeah, because
it's like Tassie's Twisters all over again. Okay. Seth, don't you dare say it.
Okay, just because that drop from the falls is particularly intense, especially if you're used to, you know, regular log rides.
Sure, sure. All right. So, anything else about Islands of Adventure that was particularly memorable?
I think that's about it. Maybe the only other thing, did you want to mention Rip Ride Rocket?
No. Rip Ride Rocket? Rip Ride Rocket was on Islands of Adventure?
Well, that's the other park.
Oh. Well, Rip Ride Rocket was good. Okay, I didn't know if it was going straight up or straight down. I'm like, if you're going straight down, how do they stand in their seats? You're defying the laws of gravity.
Yeah, I'd say Rip Ride Rocket was a good ride. Yeah. I liked the Hulk better, but
Rip Ride Rocket was my favorite. We rode it twice in a row.
Hey, yeah. Dad, what is Mountain's Hulk or Rip Ride Rocket?
I think Hulk is, but
really?
But you go straight up.
Yeah, I mean, Rip Ride Rocket is definitely scarier in terms of the very initial sequence, but once you kind of get past over the fact that you're going straight up, it's not too bad.
And all the blood is rushing to your backside.
And then blood flows out of your eyeballs.
Oh, Stacey, you didn't even ride it.
Okay.
All right, so that's most of Islands. I think we've covered it pretty well. Any other universal dining or food experiences that bear mentioning?
We went to the Toothsome Chocolate Emporium.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That's another new feature that's opened recently just this fall. People have described it as being sort of Willy Wonka-esque.
Yes.
What did you think of the Toothsome Chocolate Factory?
Awesome. Great, delicious, yummy.
Yeah, we went there just for kind of individual pieces of chocolates. I've seen a lot of descriptions of the shakes they have and some of the desserts, but we were just going there as a bit of a midday snack, and definitely worth checking out.
Actually, they have these little chocolate shot glasses with a filling in them,
mm-hmm.
and I had the Oreo cheesecake. Chocolate shot glass. It was so good. You gotta eat the whole thing.
Okay, and so that, I think, is there anything else about the universal side of your vacation that we haven't talked about that was, significant, that really was a big part of the trip and stands out?
I will mention the nachos at the pool bar at Sapphire Falls were an exceptional value and really delicious.
You could feed
a family of five for probably $15, and that's kind of a unusual deal to come by.
Yeah, that does sound like a nice opportunity.
Yeah, we'd initially planned, we did that Sunday for lunch, and then we were planning on doing that Tuesday for dinner, but unfortunately Tuesday night was kind of this torrential downpour, and we wound up just kind of making use of a combination of the bar in the hotel, Strongwater Tavern, which I thought was really good for kind of a Jamaican, Puerto Rican, small plates type. Okay. Place to eat. They also had a lot of rum flights, but I didn't really partake in that.
We had to,
but they had good beer.
Right. Well, that's good, and good to know that there are some different kinds of opportunities there too, some different options. Rum flights are pretty rare. I haven't seen those around much in Orlando, and nice to know that there's something a little different you can try there.
Yeah.
So, after Universal, you were bouncing over to Walt Disney World, and very sort of different, right? Big shift of gears from being very theme park centric there at Universal for a few days. Walt Disney World, I think that maybe the idea was to, in some ways, slow the pace down a little bit. You headed over to Wilderness Lodge, and you were staying in one of the villas at Wilderness Lodge spaces. Have you stayed there before, and what did you think of the space?
We've never stayed there before, although my wife and I's kind of favorite restaurant is Artist Point, so we often go off out to that area for dinner, but we've never stayed there. So that was really, really nice. I love kind of the rustic theming of the hotel there. And, the DVC portion was really good. There was construction ongoing, but I think, guys, from what you were commenting on, you actually liked the construction going on outside.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
All right, so it was kind of fun to watch it happening and see what was going on.
Yeah.
Just like a new road, a new highway is being built near the path that we take to our stables each day. And we get to see the progress each and every day. They're almost done now.
That's okay.
And it was really cool because we...
So yeah, I mean, it was definitely a...
Because you got to see cranes and stuff.
Yeah.
Cranes and trucks and cars testing the bridge.
Yep. So lots of activity with the construction stuff. But, you know, the noise and stuff really didn't bother us. They kept it quiet until later in the morning. And, you know, most days we were out early. About the only time we stayed in was Friday when we were doing a pool day up until we had the not-so-scary Halloween party at night.
Okay. So, you know, they had construction going on. You didn't find it to be a problem. That's great. You had really sort of two, you know, primary activities that you were planning on doing. Well, three, if we count the water park, two. So three,
yep.
You know, primary activities. And let's just kind of go through the highlights of each of those at Walt Disney World. The maybe initial motivator to make sure that you included Walt Disney World on this vacation was getting to experience some of the Food and Wine Festival at Epcot. So what were the things that stood out about your food and wine experience? As I understand it, you hadn't been for Food and Wine Festival before. So what did you think of the experience?
Well, my wife and I have gone in the past, but really the kids, we haven't gone much since the kids have been born. So, you know, it was kind of a new experience maybe for them. We had, I think, a really good time just grabbing various items from the different places.
Delicious.
And sharing bites between everybody. Delicious. We did a lot of dishes where, you know, everybody would just take a couple of bites and share things back and forth. Yeah. Less so for the wine and beer, but that's okay.
That's right, not sharing quite as much.
No. But, I think we found a couple of highlight items in Australia. There was the lamb, grilled lamb with the pesto and kind of crumbles on it. I really love the Canadian soup, the cheese soup that they have.
Sorry, tripped over a pillow.
And girls, what were some of the things you really liked from the food and wine? Do you guys remember anything?
It was something from France with chocolate that I loved. Everybody devoured the Belgian waffles like vultures.
Oh, yeah, the Belgian waffles with chocolate were a really big hit.
Yeah, you can, like, devour them like vultures. And get, like, we got, like, two.
And let's see, we did get a chance to ride the new Frozen ride built on Maelstrom. That was basically the first thing.
Space.
Yeah, and they had early member hour or early member hours or such.
Yeah, extra magic hours.
Yeah, and we got there, I'd say, a little bit late in terms of we only got in line about 15 minutes before it opened to everybody else, but that did give us a little bit of a little bit of a head start so we could head over to Norway and only spend about, say, 30 minutes in line.
Oh, and note that Epcot is actually Pin Central. If you're looking to trade pins, go to Epcot.
Okay. Good example, good point. So what did you think of Frozen Ever After?
It was good.
I wanted to see it. Girls, what did you think of the attraction?
It was cute. It was pretty cute. It was very cute.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of cute is what I'm hearing.
And not as far as Drop.
Yeah, it's the animations and such they did for telling the story, and the music was really, you know, impressive, and it was a great time. It's definitely, yeah, after you're used to sort of the thrill level of Universal, it's not as intense.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so that's that new attraction. Now, there are a couple other new things going on in Epcot in addition to Food and Wine Festival. We have the new version of Soarin'
that was
new since your last trip. What did you think of Soarin' Over the World?
Good. Awesome.
It was so beautiful.
We loved the baby polar bear.
Yeah. The polar bear sequence was cute.
Mm-hmm. And also
much healthier polar bears than the old Maelstrom polar bears.
Yeah, But, yeah, I mean, the new Soaring is, yeah, it was really nice, I'd say, to get a new, you know, change of scenery in there. We love the old one, but the new one is also really good. And, what, we got to see Paris and a lot of other destinations, so.
Yeah. Oh, and we found it. There was, you remember the shop in Japan?
Oh, yeah, we spent a lot of time in the Japan department store.
Oh, right. Yeah, in the Mitsukoshi store.
Yeah. One of the things is, yeah, the girls have been studying a bit of what's called the culture of cute in Japan.
It's adorable. We like Studio Ghibli.
Yes, and Studio Ghibli.
Studio Ghibli. Studio
so they were getting quite a bit out of that.
And Pokemon.
Yep.
There was a cute Eevee hat I wanted to buy. But I spent the money on Pokemon cards instead. There was an Arceus.
Decisions.
There was an Arceus set, and I'm like, okay, maybe I'll buy this. Arceus is weak! Seriously, he's the god Pokemon, and he only has 120 health?
Dang.
So, yes, we learned a lot about, you know, the various stats on Pokemon cards while there.
That one's a god! Pokemon
and we
has 120 health when like Mega Gardevoir has 210 health and
did get actually a little bit of pixie dust due to some of the hotel stuff going on. They gave us fast passes for not only both we had them ready for test track, but they gave them us for Soaring as well as Illuminations. So
oh, nice.
We actually got to sit in the reserved area for Illuminations.
Nice.
Awesome.
There.
Yeah, it worked out really good because
we got a good spot.
Yeah,
and we got to see the Star Wars fireworks.
A little bit, yeah. We got to see the Star Wars fireworks off in the distance, kind of while we were waiting for Illuminations to start.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So I think. You know, and anything else about the Epcot experience that really stood out? Something that you know you're going to instantly think of when you talk about your day at Epcot?
I'd say that's probably about it in terms of what we've already discussed. Right. It was just kind of a really good day of walking around and enjoying all the different foods and drinks and such.
Okay, there was one crazy thing I created on test track.
Okay.
I created a truck.
Yes.
For racing. And I was like slamming that power button. I'm like, power, 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 power. We're going to all die if you ride this car. Power, power. It's like, what? You're going to die in my car if you don't have a harness. She
right.
forgot
well, that,
one
that sounds
thing
good.
In Hong Kong. That's the one thing she forgot in Hong Kong. She forgot harnesses.
No, but she won so many races. She won so many races, she had enough money to buy harnesses for every seat.
So, yeah. And anyways, Epcot was a good time for all, I think.
It was also my first time doing the orange level mission space.
Okay.
We were missing a person, so Dad had to do the engineer's job.
No, engineers.
Oh, then Dad had to do the navigator's job, and I was the commander. I'm like, okay, I'm the commander. Okay, I wanted to be the freeloader, but a freeloader isn't on the mission.
No, yeah, they don't let you do that. There's no stowaway. all right, so everybody survived Mission Space Orange, and you still had another park-centric experience coming, really a couple of them. One was Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party, and again, this is one of those things where, you know, David, you and your wife may have been around for that kind of thing, but I think that you mentioned this was a first for the kids.
To a certain extent, it was. I mean, they'd gone when they were really little, but this was probably the first time that they remember going on it. And, you know, one of the things I was really looking forward to them getting to see was the parade and the fireworks.
They shortened it a lot.
The parade?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you kind of remember seeing it, what, 6 years ago?
Yeah, I remember it was like 30 minutes long?
Yeah.
Okay, let go.
This one was only like 15 minutes long.
Interesting. So it felt like the parade had gotten significantly shorter. Were there elements of the parade that you remembered that you specifically missed, or I guess
we missed the Hellas Horsemen.
Yeah, because of, I suspect, the rain that we had that day, they did not have the horsemen out.
Right. If it's wet, the horseman doesn't ride at all. And I learned why. Apparently, he really is riding blind. There are no eye holes in the horseman costume. They're relying solely on the fact that the horse knows the route.
Oh.
And just trots the route. And so because of that, if it's at all wet, they don't let him run.
Yeah, because I had heard that there's been a time or two when the horse has slipped, so it's definitely a safety concern.
Exactly. So yeah, so they've pretty much just cracked down on that, and if it's wet at all, they won't let him run. So that's unfortunate. You missed that because it's kind of cool, but it is true. It happens, probably at least a third of the time, just because that's what Orlando weather does, What did you think of the other elements of the party? Did you do some trick or treating?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we also, Seth, did you get to see the fireworks at all? Because I know you left early with Mom.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so you got to see them as you guys were leaving, and I stayed with Catherine and Christina.
It was actually my first time.
Okay, note, if you want the shortest land splash mountain ever, go at midnight. Because I'm serious, at midnight, there's like no one there, and that's for like the regular park times. Not just Halloween.
So that's but on Halloween, even then, right, the crowd does start to filter out. People get tired, especially when there's an early parade, early parade, fireworks, people start to leave, even though there's a second parade, and so you can leverage those time opportunities. Did you find overall that the crowd was manageable for your party?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't get a chance to ride the Seven Dwarfs because the lines were too long, but we had walk-ons for Splash Mountain, Pirates, Space Mountain.
I got to ride in on the front seat at Space Mountain.
Yeah.
Me too.
Twice.
So we did spend take a lot of advantage of the fact that the crowds were so light, especially after the first parade.
Okay.
Finished.
This was hilarious. So it was all of us on the one shuttle, and I was like, okay, everybody, prepare to die today. I'm your captain, and today our goal is speed is key. And during the ride, I kept on yelling, faster, speed is key! It's just for me.
So we had a really good time. We basically split into two groups, and I stayed with the twins, and we basically closed out the park. And Sessa and Mom went back to the Wilderness Lodge to get a little bit of sleep, so they missed the second parade.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I did get a lot of compliments on my Tinkle Bell outfit.
Yes.
Ooh. I was basically this steampunk.
Tinkle Bell.
I was this steampunk-ish skeleton.
Yep.
A steampunk skeleton. And Catherine was the Cheshire Cat.
Well, it was just a pink leopard costume. And then when we get back to Walmart, we find like a $20 Cheshire Cat costume in my sock. And that's way more Cheshire Catty than a pink leopard costume.
Oh, well,
pink
you still look good.
Pink leopards are still cool.
So you enjoyed the party. It was a new experience. It was sounds like you had some memories of the old party, but you did enjoy the one you got to attend this time. Last kind of Walt Disney World side thing you had on the agenda was the water park. You mentioned you'd chosen Blizzard Beach because you liked the area that they had for the smaller kid stuff and some of the less intense opportunities. What were the things about Blizzard Beach and your experience there that stood out?
Well, the play place wasn't for just little kids like on Typhoon Lagoon. It's for preteen for like 9 and up. And actually at the Halloween party there were some cosplayers. I passed like 2 Undertale cosplayers.
Sure.
And a Zootopia cosplayer. And I was like, that makes sense. Undertale, you a video game, you not Disney.
Yeah, so you guys took advantage of the fact that there were some more kids your age at Blizzard Beach.
Yeah, and we made a friend who, me and him, okay, I found out something very creative for Summit Plummet.
Okay.
There are no pictures, but I posed.
Okay.
While having my arms crossed. I have peace signs. I was falling down with peace signs.
When in my hands, with my arms crossed. Scream. That is not
okay. I went on the thing three times.
I went on it twice.
Catherine went on it once, and I'm actually still surprised that she went on it. Because it's like an almost vertical drop.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you know how it looks. Like it's how it looks like it's a slope and you go up and die. Okay. No, it actually goes like a little, like just a little slanted down so that you don't fall. Just a little bit slanted, only so that you don't fall.
Okay. Okay.
Just that slightly slanted. And then it goes a little curve and then slants down.
Actually, I only did it once because after that, for some reason, I got so, like, jittery after that. I decided I was not going to do it again. But I did convince my mom to go on
Team Boat Springs.
No, I did not convince her to do
that. Lazy River.
No, yes, me and my mom took our waterproof camera and did Lazy River. It's so long. We spent like 20 minutes on that thing. Only going around once.
Okay. Sounds like you had a pretty good relaxing day at the water park. David, what do you think? About how long did you stay hanging at the water park?
You know, we got in, I'm guessing, about 11 o'clock because we needed to pack up the van and basically, you know, get everything ready to head on out.
Oh.
Because we were leaving that day. And we stayed till probably 5 o'clock, so it was a good 6 hours there. Yeah. And I noticed from the kids.
Oh, and the most time-consuming thing was the play area around, because there were the little icebergs hopping, and there was a little play area for people just to play by themselves, and there was one sole iceberg there. You can guess what happened. Yes.
Yeah, you guys played King of the Iceberg for a good 2 hours, I'd say.
Yeah, and before that, we spent a good 1 hour. And then I made a friend by fighting someone. I was like, okay, you're tough. I can respect that. Want to be friends?
Okay.
We were friends. We went on Summit Plummet three times. We picked Seth up. She's like, oh, hey, you made a cool friend. I want to join your cool group. And I'm like, sure.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'd say one of the things I learned is that next trip we should plan for Blizzard Beach is definitely something to do again.
Yeah.
Good. So it's something you can add to your regular Disney repertoire as a, you know.
And we did Two Boat Springs and the Toboggan Racers. Okay. The other thing with the little foam toboggans is not worth the wait because it's slower, and the only thing it does is curves and more curves.
Except there actually is two things it does in foam.
There's the Toboggan Racers and what was it called again?
I forget.
I don't know what it was called.
The one that went like.
Oh, yeah, now I remember what it's called. It was called Fahrenheit Drop.
Oh, okay.
I did Toboggan Racers. It was
Toboggan
like,
Racers.
Toboggan Racers is like cough.
No, that's not Toboggan Racers.
Really?
No.
Oh.
She thought it was Toboggan Racers. But we were in the shorter line at Toboggan Racers. We were like, walk on in, five... 10 minutes because it does nine people at a time.
Is that the one that went a little down?
And anyway, so yeah, the girls had an awesome time there. Yeah, I pretty much read a book and drank beer, but that was good for me. And definitely another spot we're going to do again.
All right, sounds great. So I think we've really kind of covered the breadth of the vacation. This is our time where we do a little bit of summarizing and we look back. And what I'm going to do is go around and just ask each of you to identify for me, you know, the one at most two things that when you look back, you know, 5 years from now and you think about that trip you took in the fall of 2016, what are the things that you're going to remember? What are the things that are going to be the things that are this trip in your mind going forward? And, you know, I guess we'll just kind of go around and maybe we'll start with the girls. So, Cecilia, why don't you go first and let us know one or two things that, you know, this trip is going to be, you know, the memory of this trip for you.
Well, definitely Blizzard Beach.
Okay.
Definitely.
So Blizzard Beach for Cecilia. How about you, Catherine?
The Lazy River.
At Blizzard Beach.
Okay,
yes.
So specifically the Lazy River at Blizzard Beach. And Christina, how
Lazy
about you?
River.
Oh, and me, I will remember going straight up at Rip Ride Rock.
Yeah.
And okay. The harness specifically is cool. Because it has this little iPod where you can select your own music.
Yep.
I selected country because I'm like, please, I don't want to do metal.
Okay. All right. So Rip Ride Rock.
Dad ended up with heavy metal.
Your enduring memory.
I never.
Dave, how about you? What's going to stick out in your mind about this fall 2016 vacation?
Actually, it's going to be after we had done Blizzard Beach, we stopped at Disney Springs, and we wound up at Morimoto's, and we wound up with the Iron Chef himself there at the restaurant, and he made our sushi dish.
Very nice.
We got his autograph.
Yes, we do have a menu autographed by him.
Very, very cool. And I have to ask, you know, what did you think of the food that was served to you by Iron Chef Morimoto himself?
Awesome.
Yeah, really good. I love their the barbecue spare ribs or such they did.
Their spare ribs are heaven to anyone who loves ribs.
I'm not much of a rib fan, and I liked it.
Yeah, and we also had the sushi and the Peking duck and a number of other things. We did kind of a share your dishes, except for Catherine, who ate all of hers by herself.
All her new
meals. Yes.
The greedy person.
Yeah, she was happy with what she got. She got one of the kids' menu items.
Greedy.
But, yeah, so it was actually a great way to finish up the vacation.
Well, that sounds great. You know, thank you so much for taking the time to share your vacation story with us. You had a lot of great experiences, a lot of things going on. And I think a lot of first opportunities, too. So we're excited to be able to share those things. Look forward. I'm sure we'll talk to you again after the next one. But thank you so much for this time.
Well, thank you very much, Vern.
You too.
Yep. And hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra.
Of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Two tiny wings. Eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.